Oh ya ta. Tao ta ngaran su phuge sem lu tu ju tong ya le ya ene tun zeng ta ne ene sem le ya chi tan kai ne de thali ya chi yi ji ne be yin na ene tang do le be ta ne sem le ya jo de ya chi yong ge ya re ma do chi tang do le ba chi ma chung na wang yu su xian ni sem le ju da ka hu le
So when we speak about bringing about transformation of mind, it is something that can take place if we continue to sort of reflect upon the whatever the point is and reflect deeply into it, on it, and then try to develop a deep sense of conviction and ground it upon understanding. And then on the basis of that, then it is possible to voluntarily embrace that discipline upon oneself. And it is through that kind of voluntary embracing of the practice that the transformation can take place. Otherwise, one cannot expect the transformation of mind to take place simply by imposing some kind of discipline or rule from outside.
So that... Tendai yendu, ta semliya kashu rupuye, sochu kyaadan dila, ene, gyunzen chewa chayne, pege chayne, nyeshi tanya, chikche. Tendai chewa chayatala ya, hota tere sambe semliya, ngevaro, pege tobe, mutale ya, ea, hene, shahane, chiyan zeshidu, joba chay. Tendai yegi ta,
So as the actual method for bringing about the transformation of mind, this transformation that we spoke about, generally there are two primary methods that are involved. One is to utilize the critical analysis, the critical faculty, to try to analyze things and then try to develop understanding through analysis. So that is one method. And the other method is to, once you have arrived at a certain conclusion as a result of this analytic process, then one should place one's mind single-pointedly upon that conclusion that one has arrived at and maintaining some kind of placing one's mind absorbed upon this conclusion. So it is through the combination of these two methods, one analysis and the other more of a absorption or placement, one should bring about the change and the transformation that we are seeking. So, during both of these application of both aspects of these two methods, it is important to maintain one's focus upon the chosen object of meditation, whether it be an analytic meditation, where you are analyzing, where you are applying your analytic faculty upon a chosen object of meditation, or whether you are placing your mind single-pointedly upon that arrived conclusion. In both of these cases, it is very important to maintain one's focus undiverted from the chosen object of meditation, because if your mind becomes diverted, distracted by some other object extraneous to your own practice, then your mind would not have the strength or the force that it would otherwise have.
So did you do that? The same thing with Shinedu Yadi, Shinedu Gauchabushari.
Therefore, the cultivation of the single-pointedness of mind, as explained in the teachings of tranquil abiding, is very important.
다시네 다 미국 지 가르치네 치다 치 미국도 남게 미국도 지다 애한테 돈이 미국 신내다 지다 근데 애선을 그 신내다 근데 먹고 있는 거야 아래 진짜 미국을 얘 개밖에 여 말이 딱 안 앞에 미국을 얘 로 쇼당 타네 다 제공도 조금 써야 돼 뭐 신내다 당동 써야 돼 다 미국에 가려야 미국 가 있는 지르신이 미국 가 있는 대가려야 미주발 로 산이 샤네 공주자네 다 조금 미국 차버리 야 미국 치든 한게 지르신이 미국 가 있는 때려야 쟤 지르자네 다 당동 미국 된다 차려야 돼
Generally speaking, as for the object of one's meditation on tranquil abiding, shamatha, one can choose external objects or internal objects such as one's mind and so on. So the object of that tranquil abiding could be anything that one can choose. However, depending upon what kind of meditative process that you engage in, there will be, one can describe that object as the object of tranquil abiding or object of penetrative insight or vipassana. Because if the chosen object upon which when you engage with it, if your engagement is primarily that of analytic, where you are using your analytic faculty, then sort of probing into the deeper nature of it, then that your meditation becomes vipassana or penetrative insight. Whereas if your meditation is primarily kind of focused for cultivating the single-pointedness of mind and maintaining that single-pointedness of mind, then that meditation is the meditation on tranquil abiding or shamatha.
Yeah. 아, 양, 안다, 디, 뚱니, 양, 미길샤니, 곰네, 뚱니, 또땡에 지기, 아, 근데, 다, 숭교하래. 쟤, 근데, 이르자네, 아니, 따도하네, 곰바쳐와서야래. 양, 곰도하네, 따와쳐와서, 근데, 이르자네. 자, 땅 안 하는 놈이, 지금 따도 안에 고바 쳐야지 근데 가고차래 그냥 따와 거에 가고차 아니 따와 지금 정신매로 고아차 되는 집에 있네 그냥 지금 그게 따도 안에 그냥 바로 샤유 산배 지금 소수 명월이 따도 안에 그냥 바로 샤유 산배 잡아 있나야 아니 간다 따도 안에 샤유 산배 지금 현아야 단단 거만디 아니 따에 내버놓고 그 시라 대모두보다 배지래 저들이 인류자네 가고래 자단 공단에 따와서 당연히야 공제 엔디젤이야 따왔다 믹스간다 따왔다야 엔디주어지야 공단에 따와서
of course one can also take emptiness as the object of one's meditation of both tranquil abiding and penetrative insight or special insight but generally this is the case for practitioners who already have the realization of emptiness. So in the text, we find such expressions as seeking meditation by means of the philosophical view, the view of emptiness, or seeking the view by means of meditation. So there are, so generally speaking, there are both cases where an individual practitioner may have first have gained and the realization of emptiness, and from there cultivates the single-pointedness, a tranquil abiding, focused on emptiness. Or there could be instances where individual practitioner first cultivates the tranquil abiding and then applies that to focus on emptiness. For us, however, for most of us, it is very difficult to first have the realization of emptiness and then seek tranquil abiding focused on it because even if we have quite a deep understanding of sort of intellectual understanding of the emptiness of inherent existence. And then when we meditate upon it, we may feel as if we are cultivating a single-pointedness of mind focused on emptiness. But it is very difficult at the beginner stage to ensure that your ascertainment of emptiness remains vibrant and also firm. Often in the process of cultivating the single-pointedness of mind, we tend to lose the vibrancy of our understanding of emptiness. So generally, speaking for general practitioners, one must first cultivate the tranquil abiding, seek the meditation, and then from there learn to apply that faculty of single-pointedness onto emptiness.
Yeah. Nani tanya dhiyanda lamdrungi rangi lunga da simgi ni labja rangi lunga simni namda ju jugwe simgi tanyi tamnebe tsirun laba sumla ligunna tsirun laba sumla kushi ju tewe namda soja ju chenju sembe tamda ni bebra chebe soja ju soni yonsu soba sunami yishi rangshin ju soni yonsu soba gyuni sangi tamjada ngonshi jeba niru shi Chidan dapsho ma yebe chani kala pulmini, tishin ngunshi dapchebe semjian tenjin nyumayi, ngunshin denbi nizhi sunam dhani kanyimu, ngunshi dada chayyo la, gyawa kyanyan yumayi, nyudu zobe changju cho, cho, yonsu zobon dojiba teni, bayache ngunshi da dhubo nyuki lelumi, shine dhubo mayimu, ngunbar shiba yungmiju, tishi shine dhubi chi, yana yangdo bebar cha, shine yana nam nyambe rudu bedi komche kya loni zongra dhagi kya, tingzin dhubo nyuki, tishi tingzin so liuli sungbe yana, leg yana la leg ne mi bo kono chita la yini gela chaba na jo shine tu gena ne shi ta jan duban ju juru se wala tirsha chanta
so we now read from the text from verse 32 onwards, which explains first the need for cultivating tranquil abiding, then also explains the method for doing so. So we read, when those observing the vow of the active altruistic intention have trained well in the three forms of discipline, their respect for these three forms of discipline grows, which causes purity of the body, speech and mind. Therefore, through effort in the vow made by bodhisattvas for pure, full enlightenment, the collections for complete enlightenment will be thoroughly accomplished. All Buddhas say the cause for the completion of the collections, whose nature is merit and exalted wisdom, is the development of higher perception. Just as a bird with undeveloped wings cannot fly in the sky, those without the power of higher perception cannot work for the good of living beings. The merit gained in a single day by those who possess higher perception cannot be gained even in 100 lifetimes by one without such higher perceptions. Those who want swiftly to complete the collections for full enlightenment will accomplish higher perception through effort, not through laziness. Without the attainment of calm abiding, higher perceptions will not occur. Therefore, make repeated effort to accomplish calm abiding. While the conditions for tranquil abiding are incomplete, meditative stabilization will not be accomplished, even if one meditates strenuously for thousands of years. Thus, maintaining well the conditions mentioned in the collections of meditative stabilization chapter place the mind on any one virtuous focal object. When the practitioner has gained calm abiding, higher perception will also be gained. But without the practice of perfection of wisdom... up to this point, yeah.
ただでそうなしり、え、だしねが操でばさやで。しねじゅどもじゅさやで、しねぎとそりやだらあればれた。かだじしねじゅどじゃね、ねべば、え、ちぐりや。えね、あ、ゆたゆろこ、しねちゃんちゃんだこみゃち。トゥンチョンジュン、トゥン、トゥンドン。えね、ちゃんま。かだじはらんべ
So
마다지 추주 상담 니니 추주 상담 시는 루야 배지 카오레샤 저기 니 드자네고 서그루 실리야 지금 뉴스 녹아야지 데이터스 가래 카오레 근데 대뇨 자뇨 침 지름 상 지금 내지 타네 근데 도비제 즉 사다 지금 그게 잠 보줄 거야 다 어디지 타네 가다 신내 주소지리 먹으시 우리 어디디 파 주체 엔신이 줘야 소마게 당한 아주 가지 증마 안냐는 신내기 신내 주야디 배지다 나 그들이 신내 주는 양고 지기 미딘데 권변내 되게 캐버기 천비연 신내 주 라오르지 랑아 라메인 기름 그 돈에다 신내 주야 시기와 인주란다 신내 톱신지 이 기름 주야 임벌이 이기는 거 아주 기름 주게 겁네 아니 가서 신내 다 주야지 드시고 뭐가
since the achievement of triangle abiding depends upon whether or not one is successful in gathering the right conditions for its realization, we find in the scriptures various conditions mentioned for the practice of triangle abiding, such as seeking solitude, and also one needs to set aside a specific time for a deliberate, concerted, prolonged practice of single-pointedness of mind. And when you engage in the practice, you should have as many sessions as possible, but very short sessions. And the practice should be undertaken in such a way that there is no break during day and night, so as if there is a whole cycle of short sessions, one after another, but many short sessions. And also one needs to do that over a sustained period of time. And whereas the single-pointedness of mind, the attainment of achievement of triangle abiding is not something that is going to occur by practicing single-pointedness of mind once in a while when you have the time. But one needs to set aside a specific time and undertake it over a sustained period of time during that specific period that you have set aside. And in addition, one needs to ensure the right kind of way of life and the environment. One needs to make sure that one has as little chores as possible and also as little concerns as possible. And also one needs to maintain a sound ethical discipline, and also dietary conditions also make a big difference. One needs to ensure that the diet one observes is something that is suitable and appropriate to that kind of sustained cultivation of single-pointedness of mind. So so the realization of tranquil abiding is something that is not likely to occur through simple practice of single-pointedness here and there. For us, for those who are practitioners of Vajrayana Buddhism, however, in the context of the practice of generation stage, which is the sadhana practice, although generally many of these practices require the practitioners having gained the realization of tranquil abiding before, but also there is an allowance in these sadhana practices, generation stage practices, where as part of one's meditation, there are specific means for cultivating tranquil abiding within the context of the Vajrayana meditation. And given the various factors that are part of the Vajrayana meditation practice, it is said that in some cases the realization of tranquil abiding could be easier in the context of Vajrayana practice.
That's it. Mikdin Kayaro, chigliya ta lopge shayu du zane ta di kaso shine ku yilul chugu yore ma da ombu shibala chugu yore ma re sa ta ngayla mikden kain ni di pena chi mikden uchi bayi na chiri mikden uchi bayi na di ni ngayla ya pege loli ya u shao che tene mikden di ki namba tunjin dhubji loli ya yilul shaa daya shi tuka wada di mikden di imba re sung nyen shin kain ya ding zing sung nyen shin ta kanta di ni loli ya namba shaa daya bata di tunjin dhubji shaa daya bata di mikden di che ta mikden tali ya tangan mikden sewa chi loli ya shaa chi ni ta tali ya ini lo ta zichi tu shagin yin sanbe bataan chi peke penpa ropi shuk chabu chi taani in digang ta lo tani shaa bari shaa ju ta ding zing li ya peke mikden li ya lo tani doya ki nasa chi ta nasa naba ta mayin be mikden di sewa chi ta mikden sewa chi ta ma se be mikji ki lo kore be tanga sewa ta nishi kuku ya re So today in the sun, meeting the yellow minerva, Simpson to young reality, any Gorecha in we are it. Meeting the Lord never in Iya, because several men are you meet with some main, but using the Lord to get tongue me, they are Lia, because part of the chinging the chinish yard. Today in the sun, that thing is game Kiagi, gagging, chinguni celebrate. That toy yard, the name of the chinguni chevrolet. So that. 다른 신경 무고의 연구야래디 무고 침해 주임벌에 사다 독수디 침어도 거니 부디 다 연구야 사들이 인도선 친구니 부디 모셔버 전에 다 대안이 냠냠 그 때네 다 모셔버 고야래 전에 다 침어스 전에 쓴 파도 지그게 헐마 지 헐야 단대로 소 소를 다 쓴 파지 당고 매와 쓴 중류 좀 해야 되네 그것 로자는 대작의 유리야 섬 초등에 아주 리스기 아래 딱 친구이자로리아 라바다 차와다 신도 차와신데 용되기도 와 소하다데 친구 니부디 냠냠게 되네 모심 받제니 딱 친구 그 중에 그런 야 아니 냠부 된 거야 냠부 그러시다 보시면은 친구여야 돼 섬 아 팡 마차로 되어 있는 거래 섬 팡 마차도 그 집이 是 회시시서로 충실로 매대는지 또 염당소를 내는데 지원되기가 돼 선팡마차가래 다야 선팡마차기 삼는 선미야 충부로배 충실대우로시기배 이걸 때문에 유리자는 선팡 털어주기가 돼 선팡 털어심배 그들이야 거바지야 이거야 돼 그래서 증류 잠바 팡 태면 잠바지기 때문에 이니 증류기 때문에 마용지기 다 소수 냠용기 때문에 이다 검심시고기가 돼
So when actually cultivating tranquil abiding, we need to choose an object of meditation. And the object of meditation that is required for the practice of tranquil abiding is not something, a visual image at the sensory level, but rather it's an image that needs to be cultivated at the mental level. So it is not that the actual object of the meditation is not a physical object, but rather the mental image of that physical object, whatever you choose. And therefore, these objects of meditation are sometimes referred to in the scriptures as meditative images or meditative reflections, reflections on the meditation, meditative state of mind. So therefore, one needs to first cultivate the familiarity with the chosen object so that one can call to one's mind that image at the mental level without having to visually look at the chosen object. So once you have learned to call to your mind the chosen object of meditation, then one needs to make a strong kind of determination that I will retain the focus of my attention on this chosen object. So with that determination, then you should try to maintain that attention or focus on that chosen object of meditation. So when you are placing your mind onto that object of meditation, then there are two elements that are crucial. One is the ability to retain your attention to the chosen object. The other one is the dimension of the aspect of clarity and alertness of the mind. So these two need to be present, and because if there is no stability or the ability to sustain your focus on the chosen object of meditation, then you will your mind will be distracted. Your mind will get diverted by some other extraneous thoughts or objects. So, and on the other hand, even if you may have this ability to sustain your focus, but if there is no clarity and there is no alertness, then the quality of your single-pointedness will not have that sharpness. Therefore, it is important to ensure that both these elements are present, and the ability to sustain your focus and this alertness and clarity. Now, that which undermines the ability to maintain your focus is distraction. So therefore, distraction is one of the important obstacles, one of the main obstacles for your practice of tranquil abiding, and that which obstructs, that which undermines your ability to maintain this clarity of mind and alertness, it is the mental sinking or mental laxity which undermines your ability to remain sharp and alert. Therefore, these two factors, mental excitement and mental laxity, these two are considered to be the most important obstacles, the two most important obstacles to the cultivation of tranquil abiding. Generally speaking, there are other obstacles such as mental scattering and also kind of a mental dullness, but they are gross forms of these obstacles. The two most important obstacles are mental excitement and mental laxity, and therefore the meditator's task is to try to identify and develop the sensitivity to really discern the arising of these obstacles within one's mind, and that can be done mainly on the basis of one's own personal experience by judging the thought processes and one's own state of mind, and to really see what is at play within one's experience. And so one will understand that mental excitement arises when your state of mind is too uplifted. The mental laxity arises when you notice that there is a kind of a degree of relaxedness in your mind, and when the state of your mind is too downcast, then laxity or mental sinking arises. And in order to counter this, you need to try to find a way of uplifting your state of mind, which will then counter mental sinking and laxity or laxity. On the other hand, when your mind is too uplifted, and then a mental excitement arises, and then you need to find another means to try to bring that level of upliftedness down to a more kind of sober state. So it is through these way the meditator needs to find for himself or herself, subjectively and on the basis of one's own experience, kind of the right balance, so that your mind is neither too excited nor is it too lax, so that you have the right balance. And this is something that needs to be done on the basis of one's own personal experience and through gaining experience of the practice.
Then the chevin, Jigpa, Kunyam, Migdin Yam Chung's chef, and Jigda, sort of sorrow, that's inch chicks, good beds, hurts. 그냥 집에 소소 명월이야 되바 지고베 지티디르게 되바 아 되네 지부게라 삼다니 아 소소 뉘니야 되네지 다 이해가 삼세 이네 넘버 로리아 샤드르치 다 디미딘잖아 아 야고야레 다야 선의신에 저베이나다 아 지 넘지 차진데 근데 저거리야다 야 선의신에 저쪽으로 산다든지인데 남중간에서 다 되게 이제 남도 담민데 되게 이제 르즉 가서다 르는 아마 소르다 지금 르즉다 뿌리는 담민데 지금 수해 되버디 파가비 수리야지 동상 소르지 다 되네 동상 소르디 간리야 바 네트브 체니 로바 네트브 체니 티지 윤루 중세 되게 튜트브 주나 영점 체니 아니 세섬 릭섬 뇽섬 기 넘버 위치 신의 롤이야 샤이미지 다 디 중수는 아니 신의 있다 미딘디 니르지 다 대강이야 아니 바 론조도 시기하래
generally for Buddhist practitioners it is actually very beneficial to take say the image of the Buddha as one's object of meditation when cultivating tranquil abiding and if you do this it is quite helpful to try to choose an object the right size, not too large, about an inch or two in height, and try to imagine this image to be quite brilliant, and also a kind of a rather weighty, having some kind of solidity. And then imagine this image of the Buddha in front of you, and then if you choose that as your object of meditation and then focus your mind upon it and cultivate tranquil abiding, and this is most beneficial. It is also possible to cultivate tranquil abiding on the basis of choosing one's own mind as the object of meditation. And this is, however, the case. This is the case in practices such as the Mahamudra, the Great Seal tradition, where when cultivating tranquil abiding, the main object of meditation is chosen to be one's own mind. Then here, if you do that, first of all, it becomes necessary to try to get some understanding of this object of meditation, which is your mind. And here, it is not sufficient simply to have a definition of mind. Mind is that phenomenon which is luminous in knowing. That alone is not sufficient. You must have an experiential sort of understanding of what mind is. And so the question is, how do we cultivate that experiential understanding of mind so that we can use that as an object of meditation on calm, tranquil abiding? So here one method is to do the following practice, which is to try to see if you can bring about the cessation of all past recollections, all thoughts that are kind of directed and that delves, that dwells upon past experiences. And then you try to put an end to that, and then also then you try to put an end to any thoughts that are directed into the projecting into the future, whether it be anticipatory thoughts or fear or whatever it is. and then try to sort of thus clearing away thoughts focused upon past experiences and thoughts projecting onto future, try to find that, maintain that present experience and find that kind of gulf or the gap. So you will experience a kind of a vacuum. Because normally, in our day-to-day experience, not only during the sort of active experiences of sensory faculties, even when we don't have any sort of obvious sensory experiences, our thoughts are always colored by conceptualization. It is almost as if our mind is totally wrapped in layers of conceptualization. So what we are trying to do is to try to see if we can take these layers of the conceptualization away so that we have a kind of a, almost a kind of an experience of the mind as it is. And this is done by kind of differentiating thoughts dwelling onto the past and thoughts projecting onto future and trying to sort of grasp that present moment. And this initially may be experienced as a kind of a vacuum, a kind of a gulf with nothing. But this is not the vacuum that is, this is not the emptiness that we speak about. This is basically an absence of conceptualization that directs onto the past and future. And through prolonged practice and sustained practice, if we can extend that gap, that gulf that we experience, initially it may be a very momentary one, a very fleeting one, but gradually as a result of practice, one will be able to extend that experience of the gap or the gulf to sort of more and more longer period, so that eventually one will get a sense of what is truly meant by luminosity and knowing. And then we choose that as the object of meditation.
Oh, yeah. That's an Egyptian. Then, Tao Tedabini, Tingziba Drumni, ko rimbe chi sta sem ne sem ne bo ku shi shen gu ya re an ta ma ta sem mi de ga ne ba de tun dong re mi ne ba de shi ma ga re an ni ka le ka le li ya tun de jing la ne ba de ma ga ya mi ne ba de nyu ga da ti ne ne ba ko ni bu ta gu chung ya li ya ni jing gu ma le be bu ta gu chung ya la da ba su chen du chen ni ba chen ta ta ma da shi shin de ni ta do se yun sing ni ri ya ro ji ne ni
챙식
So thus as a result of cultivating this meditative absorption, which is described, the process of which is described in the scriptures as involving 9 stages of mental development. And these 9 stages of mental development describes the process, the gradual process through which the practitioner gradually acquires greater and greater ability to sustain one's focus without distraction. So initially, when one enters a meditation session, one may experience more moments of distraction than more moments of being able to maintain one's focus upon the object. However, gradually, as a result of sustained practice, then this situation will change, so that at least during the meditation session, one will experience more moments of single-pointedness than a distraction. Still, as one pursues further into one's practice, then one will be able to really refine one's faculties of mindfulness and faculty of diligence, and these two faculties of meditation practice will become more and more heightened, so that they will be able to counter even the arising of subtle levels of mental excitement and mental laxity, so that gradually, as a result of the increase of force of one's mindfulness and diligence, then one will eventually get to a point where in the meditation session one may be able to retain one's focus upon the chosen object undistracted over a long period of time, such as up to 3 or 4 hours, without distraction. And at that time, the practitioner has reached what is called the 9th stage of mental development. And as he or she pursues further with the practice, then as a result of this heightened state of meditative absorption, then one eventually experiences a physical and mental pliancy, suppleness of body and mind, giving rise to the blissful experience. At that point, then the person has attained a tranquil abiding, shamatha.
That is not sure of it. Shiro, Paro Shinjo, the Terra Tiba Samming you. Teaching you more, she said, it's a woman who pumped Shiro Paro Shin and your daughter Tabje Combat Chas. That Tuni Comguris, Marina, the Shiro Comguris. Why any? Initially, part of the Chimbatea, any? Tub you taught the Chevy Comguris. Team Yinguadi, Tub the Chevy, Shiro, the Shiro Chevy, Tub the Kanjichin was shares from the Terry Nigabamichas, Tashi Yamato Guris. Shiro Khan, the Tub Kanji, Tazum Dani Bangbish, Tub Nam Dani, Shiro, the Yanda Yawa Sawacha, Shiro Paro Chin Bangbish, the Shiro Paro Chin Bangbam, the Shiro Paro Chin Bali, Shambes, then the Chinga Bangbish Marie. Shiro Paro Chimbali Shembe, Jimbe Paro Chimbala Sobe, any person Hamadidi, Gavachon of Tamjata, Gavanam de Tops shares. Tabum Wangi, Dani, Kanshi Shiro Namgomba, Teni Changju Nuru Tops. Tabla Kombe, Da, any, Teni, that Shiro, Tabu Simbacheni. Chigina, any, because she said to be able to get to this, so in body. Tada Mayimba, Teni Changu, Tami Chibu Kombe means. No,
then, verse 41, line 3, from that point, the text explains the necessity for cultivating the wisdom of emptiness. So we read, but without practice of the perfection of wisdom, the obstructions will not come to an end. And thus, to eliminate all obstructions to liberation and omniscience, the practitioner should continually cultivate the perfection of wisdom with skillful means. And then he explains the importance of cultivating the union of the two. Wisdom without skillful means, and skillful means too without wisdom, are referred to as bondage. Therefore, do not give up either. Then we read further. To eliminate doubts concerning what is wisdom and what is skillful means, I shall make clear the difference between skillful means and wisdom. Apart from the perfection of wisdom, all virtuous practices, such as the perfection of giving, are described as skillful means by the victorious ones. Whoever, under the influence of familiarity with skillful means, cultivates wisdom, will quickly attain enlightenment, not just by meditating on selflessness.
That other, that Shiro Kombe Su Kandiris Lamna, that Jiri Shiro Liya Mangu already, Yine, that under day, Oreda, Nangarigo Kuzo Tobe Shiro, Nelugo Tandum Tobe Shiro, Satinig, that Shiro Mangu already. That Dinane, under day, 탑시 야마저 고르스나 시럽디 조니 뚜니도 시럽을 쓰기 하래. 딘제인디 시럽 거르지를 쓰게 됐으려나? 풍부함다 깨지는 깨워면 뭐 또 주변 정신 뚜니 시럽은 시럽지는 용수 셰스.
And then the question is, if one needs to cultivate the wisdom unified with the skillful means, what kind of wisdom must one cultivate? Because generally speaking, there are many different types of wisdoms. For example, the scriptures speak of the wisdom of understanding the conventional reality, such as the five fields of knowledge, and the wisdom understanding the ultimate nature of reality. So here the text identifies what is meant by wisdom. So we read, understanding emptiness of inherent existence through realizing that the aggregates, constituents, and sources are not produced is described as wisdom.
That's enough. 풍부도 감도 깨지리디 깨와 열배설로 깨와 열해 풍급 깨지기 추디디 라다 풍부다 되는에는 뉴제 감다 지금 뉴제 깨지 디디 간다지 교도 기한을 되네 고 중직체 되는 지기 대단하냐 그 진시디 그 다 낭섬 땅섬기 남주 간다 남주지 마다 마셔봐라 다 Dugin didn't di, and in Dubun didn't di saddle. She Dubun didn't di, any di, any way, auntie Rangaben Dubun didn't di be gay saddle. Mother Namsha Mongoose shedding your head. Di Namsha Shabanashi, Turner, Nadiola, Dundig Chow, Chiore. At the da, Dun Dubu gay say, the conditional cigarette, conditional party, Nansom Tame was simple, Chavina, any. 닥터는 자와서야지 잡으래. 닥터는 자였으려니 닥터의 대응이 가리지마디. 낭섬 대의 마침벌. 아니 닥터는 자나 아니 늘로 잡으러 누구야 하래. 단점 잡으러 누구야 하래. 봐. 자진들 인도산에 다 뉴지에게 변화 풍부하다. 대신도 지금 감도 지시지 뉴지에게 쇼디디. 깨끼기 하래. 뉴진기 자와 뉴진기 교대견을 되내고 진지 중지체 대하지. 저도 이내 대 런심하도 흔들지 하래. 싸가 신부이나 니야 좋아하는 매발해. 진짜 인도산에 탄예도 끼기 하래. 이내 단 담보로 짜베이나 그 아니 깨와 매발지. 그것도 실패하지 하래. 진짜 인도 풍금 계신 남 깨와 매보 더불어 규배 아니 다 런심스럽나 지코라 생기 생기삼 지코라 대만에 예대바 루브르도 제법만이다. 자 이제 인도산에 최남기 대만 시가 되고 코랩의 푸지 뚫는다고 코랑의 시도 어디다 들으셨나 이니 정신스러이 말이야. 근데게다 정신 이니 동반이 견가 예대인지 제 인도산에 다 깨와 매버지 깨와 니주 뭐 주네 이니 그게 깨와 매버지 통 인도산에 어디다 들으셨나 기주 여등의 지기 코랑기 런신도 주고 내로수 주고 겨우매봐 대인이 코랑기 동의 쓰기 바래 자진의 인도산에 든지들보다 런신 동의 쓰기 바래 대 아니 그럼들한테 실업 쓰기 바래 든지들보다 동의 쓰기 바래 실업을 쓰기 바래 이 제임 바래
So the question is if the wisdom realizing the inherent absence of inherent existence of aggregates and so on is the wisdom that it needs to be cultivated here. How do we understand this wisdom of emptiness? So here the text explains that so when we look at aggregates and the constituents and the elements and so on, sources and so on, do they have origination? Do they come into being from causes? And if so, how can they be said to be devoid of inherent existence? So here, the point being made is that one is not denying that these phenomena, such as aggregates, the elements, and the sources, and so on, do not possess any origination. and they do not come out, come into being as a result of causes. Rather, what is being rejected is that that their coming into being, their origination, is somehow intrinsic to them, or somehow possesses an intrinsic existence. For example, when we conventionally make the claims that such and from such and such cause, such and such effects ensue, from such and such factors, such and such results will come about. When we make such claims, we are making it at the level of conventional reality, without probing, without going deeper into the ultimate nature of things. Whereas if we are unsatisfied by the understanding of the operations of cause and effect at the mere level of appearance, at the mere level of conventional truth, if we were to seek for some kind of inherent existence of these cause and effects, then the more we search for it, we will fail to find anything that can really withstand that kind of critical search. Therefore, this unfindability is described as suggesting the absence of inherent existence. And this mode of looking beyond what we perceive, looking for some kind of ultimate nature of things, ultimate mode of being of things, is described as seeking their ultimate truth, or seeking their true mode of being. And this true mode of being is their nature, which is described in the scriptures as emptiness. And the realization of that emptiness is what is meant by wisdom in the context here.
되게 감이 좋은 어시리 똥니 짜바다 차와 이양가 이거 말했으니 아주 쉬대하디 딱 알아 똥만 있을 때하디 즉 가나 매버지 게 시기가 말해 그 시지 아니 그 여당하고 아니 남중 안 들려 나한테는 신지기 유루티 매등해 유루티 똥 근데 시기 저 뒤에 이메 있는 자네 동시시전식 때문에 똥은 있어야 시작을 해봐도 동시시전을 만들어 똥은 있어야지 시작을 해봐라. 그래서 근데 이래서는 루루기 탄연하는 말은 담배주는 똥은 있어서 송대야 돼. 뭐 시든지 되면 양도가 따와서 릴리자야 열대 안다디 릴리자야 물었음기 최전디 패누무스 신에게 최전배 인연도 매봐 이어버지 샤니 디 때문에 아니 提升心愿没在你人心没有念过人马多确实你不希望买了这里啊东北你电脑会啊电脑会啊要买的是他念了那么的嘛他买了那么多没就先送的啊他的人都按照的碰不康的接近那么是在的确实是啊他念的是啊他跟人心给按照的乐队那里啊那你希望留个多了那你东西电脑朋友你就在那边多么个弄长呢 좀된 대게 배디 동일 수 있는 자네 다 가사를 쉬는 시리 니아르 배지 타니에 배 배게지 패뉴 깽가 여부디 차상이 송 퇴송사를 쉬고 대 대담자에 그냥 민삼 다삼 쓰니 모니 주변 매바 쓰니 인디다 야지 그 시비를 썼지 그 용대기도가 쓰니 이두고 간다 최전 그게 패뉴 무슨 쟁의지 실시 샤네 다 패뉴 여댕의 지가 강리야 다 디 유탁주리
So as I explained earlier, that we should not have the notion that somehow there is an isolated emptiness that is independent of everything, that exists out there on its own, not dependent upon any objects or any basis, because when we speak of emptiness, we are speaking about the ultimate nature of things. Therefore, emptiness can only be understood in relation to things and events, and so the therefore it has to be always explained on the basis of some objects or some basis, and the what is involved here is to is the quest, is the search to understand whether or not things and events exist in the manner in which we tend to perceive them. So when we are seeking to cultivate the wisdom of emptiness, what we are seeking is to really understand what is the ultimate mode of being of these things, what is the ultimate nature of these things and events. And therefore, one can never cultivate an understanding of emptiness and divorced from the world of multiplicity. Therefore, Nagarjuna states in the Fundamentals of the Middle Way, and that he says that without dependent upon the conventional truth, one will fail to realize the ultimate truth. And also, we find in Shantideva's Shiksha Samucha, Compendium of Practices, where when presenting the teaching on emptiness, he provides a profusion of citations from so many different Mahayana sutras, all presenting a kind of a enumeration of lists of various categories of the path and various taxonomy of reality. And then based upon this taxonomy, then he explains the emptiness. So this is similar to what I said yesterday about, in a sense, what happens is that by presenting all these vast taxonomy, you're building a kind of an edifice, and then after having done that, and then the point is made that all of this are devoid of inherent existence. None of this possess inherent existence. So in a sense, there is a process of dismantling as well. So the point is that what is involved in developing the wisdom of emptiness is the analysis to determine whether or not things and events exist in the manner in which we tend to perceive them, or whether there is their ultimate mode of being is something that is different from the way in which we tend to perceive them. And that really is the crux of the meditation on emptiness. So the point is that the basis upon which you are cultivating your understanding of emptiness are things and events which have direct bearing on a sentient being's experience of pain and pleasure. So these are things whose existence you cannot deny that they are real, and they have impact upon one's experience of pain and pleasure.
And the
Furthermore, in the scriptures, understanding of dependent origination is stated to be the most powerful means of arriving at the knowledge of emptiness. So dependent origination is described as the most powerful proof of existence. Most powerful proof of emptiness. So what this suggests is that when engaged in the quest for understanding emptiness, and as a result of reductively analyzing the aggregates and so on, then we do not, when we fail to find some kind of entity that possess intrinsic reality, we do not then arrive at the conclusion, therefore it does not exist. We do not draw that conclusion, but rather we draw the conclusion that they exist, given that they cannot be found when searched through such critical analysis. They must exist only by means of dependent origination. Therefore, a genuine understanding of emptiness must really take place where the moment you reflect upon your understanding of the emptiness of inherent existence, that very understanding will indicate that things exist. So you feel, one should feel almost as if when you hear emptiness, you should hear its implication, which is that dependently originate, existing by means of dependent origination. So therefore, a genuine understanding of emptiness is said to be where one understands emptiness in terms of dependent origination.
Then another day, Ludugi, Richard Nalia, and Utah Shadi, a Kibu Sami Chumi, Mimi Lumi Nagami, Namshimi, Gumina, Telation, Kibu Kangs. Janeta, Tadu Zen Manivitche. Tadu Zen Manivitigi, Ju Tematalia, and Kibu Yanga Botu Maris in Mosumar. Kibu Kamru Divichin, Signabeshuwa. Tadu Zen Manivari, Pungli Losu Yaman, Pungli Ten Shendu Yaman. 공부 초성에 말이지. 근데 이제 또 기부사도 가야 돼. 아, 네 쇼데 기부 컴준 되게 싫으시니. 기부디 매번 말이 요하래. 편년적인 조하래. 다디 다 가수로 그게 다 시험도 그게 다 더베네 매발이. 근데 이번 이제 딱고 간다지 예니 요하래. 그 여섯 되네니 요하래 삼십 되네니 그 니야 요 말이. 근데 이제 딱 여단디
A similar point can also be found raised in Nagarjuna's Precious Garland, where when explaining the emptiness of the person, selflessness of person, he proceeds by explaining how the reductive analysis, where he explains how person is neither the earth element nor the water element, fire element, and so on, and he approaches through this reductive process, and then he, having failed to find person, something called person that is independent of these various elements, nor having failed to find the person to be identifiable as either any of these elements, then he raises the question, if that is the case, where is the person? And then after that, he does not immediately conclude saying, therefore, person does not exist. Rather, he then immediately brings up the idea of dependent origination. He says that the person is therefore dependent upon the aggregation of the six elements. And so the point being raised is that person exists, and the person is real. Person undergoes experience of pain and pleasure, and also the elements that constitute the person's existence, they are also real. They can impact upon the person's experience. Now, although they exist, and when we look for them, for example, although the person exists, and when we search for it, amongst the various elements that constitute the individual, which is where one would sort of, in a common sense, one would normally expect to find. But although it exists, but we fail to find it within the elements where one would expect to find it, then the question is, in what manner can we understand its existence? And there, Nagarjuna brings up the concept of dependent origination. He says, we can therefore understand person's existence only in terms of its dependent origination. And then having made the point of the dependent origination, he then concludes, therefore, person is devoid of intrinsic existence. So this is an important point where the transition is from the reductive analysis, not failing to find the person, then next is the dependent origination, and then as a result of understanding its dependent origination, then you arrive at the final conclusion that it is devoid of inherent existence.
Jazanga the Zhaoshiro, the Rabji Nishibi, Rabji Nishibi Nalia, any Jingma Mare, any 천은 랑신지 동안 대갱기 우마버처나 찾아와래서 아니 천은 원이기 두면 아니 천은 가서 우리 지금 상당히 코하던 양대기 뒤에 최태란 대세야지 이 쇼하이 말해 최코란 건 뭐냐 두면 엔터 현실이 또 최대 용신 말해 저서 코란 코란 동거릅시다 저 니네 이 말이네 우마버처나 찾아와래 신 신은 주 저러 저셔버 들려야 우물루루 파 랜주리잖아 아니 결항기 아니 동거니 고아 시민도 동거니 고아도 야우지 차민도 네 있는 동거니 세대야디 댄시 대본 중앙 인벌이야 동거니 쓰기였어 마돈 매바지로 동거 쟤는 이주 매바 쌍고 통하네 동거니 쓰기미 동니 동거니 쓰기미 쟤는 와다 가사리 댄시 대본 중앙 그 대네 동거니도 쉐스 댄시 대본 중앙 강인바디 아니 동거니 쓰기스 와 Ten women lamries, but tension different joy in them, maybe Mari. Only you do the tong in them, or Rinshin Yebe, or Takbeta, Tongaji, Maris. Didn't they do? Casa, tension different joy, ten at Tongaji, ten at Tawa disc, or ten at Tawa in them, or maybe Mari, or ten at Dani, Yerjin Dusane, that din, Taxi Tata to Umuchadi or this, or that, the Sundua. Consider them, the teacher.
Similarly, in the 24th chapter of Nagarjuna's Fundamentals of the Middle Way, Madhyamagamula Karika, we find a question or objection being raised from the Buddhist realists who charge the Madhyamakas, the proponents of emptiness, that they are nihilistic. And the question is, objection is raised that if things and events are devoid of inherent existence, which means then the whole samsara and nirvana too would be devoid of inherent existence. And if this is the case, then essentially what you are saying is that nothing exists, everything is empty. So to this objection, Nagarjuna makes the following response. He says that such an understanding of emptiness as nothingness, as you present, is a misconception of my view. So the objection is raised that if you maintain that all phenomena are devoid of inherent existence, then this is tantamount to making the assertion that nothing really possesses any existence. Therefore, your view is nihilistic. To which Nagarjuna responds by saying that, and this reflects a misunderstanding of the Madhyamaka's position. By emptiness we do not mean mere nothingness. By emptiness we mean a dependent origination. Then he explains that whatever is dependent origination, I assert that to be empty, and that in turn I assert to be dependently designated or dependently labeled, and this I call the middle way, part of the middle way. So the point being made here is that by making the statement that all dependently originated phenomena are devoid of inherent existence, Nagarjuna is saying that he transcends the extreme of absolutism because he rejects the absolute reality of things. And by stating that these things, in an event which are devoid of inherent existence, yet possesses dependent nature, they exist as dependent originations, he transcends the extreme of nihilism. And thus, this transcendence, this freedom from extremes of nihilism and absolutism represents the true middle way. And having made that identification of the understanding of emptiness as the true middle way, then he goes on to make the following statement. There is nothing whatsoever that is not dependently originated. Therefore, there is nothing whatsoever that is not devoid of inherent existence. Then
a question can be raised that if this is the understanding of Nagarjuna's understanding of dependent origination, that he accepts nothing whatsoever that is not dependently originated, because he accepts nothing whatsoever that is that possesses inherent existence, then the question is, does that imply that according to Nagarjuna, all phenomena, both transient and also permanent phenomena, those that are not conditioned, are they all said to be dependently originated? Here it is helpful to understand that there are different levels of meaning to the idea of dependent origination. For example, at one level, we can understand the notion of dependence in terms of causes and conditions. So this meaning of dependent origination is relevant to the world of causes and effects. So here, the dependence is understood in terms of dependence upon causes and conditions. However, there is a second, and this this understanding of dependent origination will cover only conditioned things. However, there are different levels of another level of understanding of dependent origination, where dependence is understood more in terms of mutual dependence. For example, in the case of the mutuality of concepts, for example, when we speak of long and short, there is a mutuality of concepts. Something is posited as long in relation to something. Similarly, when we look at things, we can understand that thing or an event having part and whole, and whole is constituted by the parts, and parts are posited in relation to the whole, that is the composite of that. And so there is So in this sense, one can understand the entire world, both conditioned and unconditioned, as being dependently originated. There is another level of understanding of dependent origination where dependence is understood more in terms of the subject, of the labeling mind. For example, when we say something exists, and if we were to look for its, or its, look for its essence, objectively, nothing can withstand that critical probe. And so when we search for whatever it may be, when we search for it objectively, there is nothing whatsoever that really can be referred to as the true referent of that term. And this, however, doesn't suggest that whatever the mind labels, it becomes real. Of course, the labeling process is there, but also and what is labeled must not be invalidated by another conventional knowledge, and also it must not be invalidated by the critical analysis that probes into its ultimate nature. So, when we label something as something and look for the true referent of this term objectively, there is nothing that really stands out to justify that label that is given to that thing. So what do we conclude from this is that nothing possesses absolute objective reality. The existence of things can be understood and posited only as mere appellations, mere designations, and mere names. So one can therefore see that there are three, broadly speaking, three different levels of meaning to the concept of dependent origination. So according to Nagarjuna, the dependent origination really covers the entire spectrum of reality.
Tadine chizang de khasa and de ge juan de kholo jbo subo chizane zoro di leban number chawa sa de shawe ina and san zan be ta chue thaje tembe tong sa di lol mo shu che na chue thaje tembe mo du na la ngoni ju de tong na en de che sha mo du sha che ge yin de zan ne で別にね、今まで喋りないや、指針のでなのりや。だ、だんだんとぞ、だ、三次孫子ぞよて、ね、指針のでかりや、孫の南京がしゃ、もうにと当です。チェネ、孫がやれ。からで、どでだ、え、か、差しもしかなごやれ。だ、で、たじんばるさんだに、孫の南京がしゃ、もうにと当ですね。ればいないや、違うまれ。で、今いるさね、た、孫にみる、孫りや。 공네는
However, this Nagarjuna's understanding of emptiness as inherent absence of inherent existence of all things and events is something that is, of course, not accepted by all. For example, yesterday we spoke about the third turning of the wheel of Dharma, and one of the principal texts of that being Samdhinirmochana Sutra, which is the sutra unraveling the intention of the Buddha, which is the one of the primary scriptures for the mind-only school. So the mind-only school does not accept literally the statements found in the Perfection of Wisdom Sutras, where there is a categorical negation of inherent existence across the entire spectrum of reality. And so the mind-only school, the followers of mind-only school, does not accept that this statement should be taken literally. So what they do is they contextualize that statement by differentiating between three natures of phenomena: the designated phenomena, or imputed phenomena, or imputed nature, or the dependent nature, or the perfect nature. And in relation to these three natures, then they contextualize and interpret the Buddha's statement that all phenomena are devoid of inherent existence. And so they contextualize and differentiate the meanings in relation to different contexts, whereas the followers of the middle way school, the Madhyamaka school, accept that the teachings of the perfection of wisdom represent a definitive standpoint and accept this categorical rejection of inherent existence across the entire spectrum of reality.
So da tenri sa chig di phinju de ne joya ji da di phinju de ne da ka so nam sha ji sha sha ba de ji gwen da ba me de ji nam sha de bu shu sha tu ya ji wo wa de ji sa da nam sha sha tu sa ne ko yu lu de ne yu jin yu jin de ne yu s ko sa ma de ne sha 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 de ne sa ma s ma do ko sha sha je ji sa ma sa ma je ji reng ri sa de ku me ba re wa ji da ge nen xin gi 민상기 시바지 샤토는 민상기 치료셔지 그 샤초 그래. 자, 근데 인도산에 시바 덴두슬럽니 지코브게 랑스머르지 뇨 랑스머르지 예발 이지체. 다 치료셔디 에네 코 랑스머지 말이 디에디니 가시고르 그게 로다 더니지 그랬지는 대시 하고 싶지 때문에 치든가 시바 덴두셔리니지 섬섬이 디셔버 와. 다 우모바 다 되나네야 우모바한테 디 텐디 뚜두스야 디게 코야우 차네 디 때문에 남샤 대부신 저시도 자네 가서 그게 잔디 주인비네 난 유진 시바데다 치료 유니부디 딱성 딱성 그 때문에 예반단다 그다 딱 코라 니가로 이니 모니 배반단다 리스탄이 이제네 난 즘베유 치수원 메시니 아니 여치고 매버리
So if one can understand this principle of dependent origination in terms of this mutual dependence of concepts that I spoke about earlier, then there is a certain simplicity to one's worldview, because one can then posit the existence of things in relation to others. For example, one can then posit define objects in relation to subjects. One can define objects of knowledge in relation to cognitions. One can define various things in relation to others. Therefore, there will be a certain symmetry and also kind of a completeness to one's worldview. And there will be no need to struggle in the way in which, such as the mind-only school struggles, where in order to verify the existence of objects, they posit a valid cognition, and in order to posit, in order to verify the existence of the valid cognitions, then one needs to posit a further faculty called the perceptive reflexive self cognition, or this faculty of self cognition, and so on. And this kind of problem arises when one fails to recognize the absence of inherent existence across the entire spectrum of reality, and makes distinctions between the world of internal consciousness or mind and the world of external objects. For example, the mind-only school denies the reality of the external world of matter, and maintains that the internal world of subject, such as consciousness and so on, enjoy a greater reality and accord them some kind of inherent existence. So this is completely contrary to the way in which Madhyamaka understands the nature of the world, and they understand the existence of things in terms of mutual dependence, this concept of dependent origination. Thus they are able to maintain that all things and events, including subject, objects, valid cognitions and their objects of knowledge and so on, all things and events are mere designation, mere labels, mere appellations.
Ene kansa sa de chen sha yu za ne ji ko su ge chu na shi ji ku shi na ba shi ba sa ro ji yi ji na ba shi ba sa de de kansa la sha me ba wa ene kansa sa de ko ta bu za ni ya me de ma ko ming wang ge ye sam ji de ne sha yu za ne ka la ka wo de shi gu ya ma re shi an sam zan be be yi shi ji go sha ba yi ne ya se me de de ne go li ya ya de de ma de ro pa sha ku shi ti sa me sta ngu ze ne ko de ma de sha ne ene ku shi ji na shi sa ji sha yu ba so da wa de ne ge 어 간다 민규왕의 여정 땡중 뚜루 세야 뒤타네 이 남샤디 그지 대부시 차기에서
also if one is not able to really understand the world world in terms of this principle of dependent origination and one feels the need to really posit some kind of objective reality to things then one runs into all sorts of problems like as I described yesterday. For example, if we are trying to search for what exactly is the nature of person or the self, then if one engages in this analysis with an underlying kind of belief that there must be a person, something that is objectively real, that should be findable, and you know, at the end of one's search, then you are compelled to find all kind of means of identifying what that objectively real thing phenomenon would be. For example, in the case of mind-only school, there was the attempt to identify person or the self with mental consciousness, and in some cases when the mental consciousness is still found to be too transient, then there was the need to posit another faculty that has that is supposed to have a much enduring status called the fundamental or foundational consciousness or store consciousness, alayana vijnana, and so on. On the contrary, if you are comfortable with the Madhyamaka worldview of understanding everything in terms of the principle of dependent origination, then when analyzing the nature of person, one will arrive at an understanding that person is a mere designation that exists in relation to the aggregates that constitute that person's existence.
yānān dēbē nēzūjī dē dēnī dāng dēbār chūngsībī sāmūtāni dā āndā jīg tānyā dāmā rā chidhāyā yānān jūngjūjī rā sāmūtāni dā tānyā chidhāyā kāndā jīg jūngjūjī dā dēbē nēzūjī dīndē dī yāmā mūngūjī dēnī dīndē jīg tānyā inī nāmdā gā tānyā dūs tānyā yēdabā jīg mādō kōrā tānyā kāndā kāngshabā
In fact, if you analyze quite deeply one's own personal experience of how we engage with the world, we will find that a lot of the conventions that we utilize in our engagement with the world, a lot of the terms, a lot of the concepts, a lot of the conventions that we apply, they tend to be either grounded in some past experience or shared experience or something that has really happened in the past. So they are really grounded either in the past or our fears or apprehensions or anticipation that really project onto the future. So much of our engagement with the world by using much of the conventions, much of the terms, concepts These factors that we use in our engagement, really engagement with the world, really come from either past experiences or our projection into the future. Whereas the conventions and the terms that we apply to the world, if one were to insist on something that is directly relevant only to whatever is present with no relation whatsoever to the past and future, then there will be nothing left, because all of our engagement, all the apparatus that we use when we engage with the world, really come either from our past experiences or our projection into the future. And in fact, if we try to analyze and search for what is this present, it's not findable. Because when we look at units of time and try to kind of pinpoint what is the present, then we fail to find one. The units of time either tends to be past or they tend to be future. One could raise the question that if by emptiness of inherent existence one is not propounding everything to be non-existence, if emptiness does not entail non-existence and nothingness, then and if emptiness really refers to the world of dependent origination, then the question could be raised, then what is the point of trying to really go through these complex thought processes of understanding how things exist and in what sense they exist, that you know things and events do possess a level of existence, yet they do not have any objective independent reality. And if that is so, then what is the point of trying to sort of fine-tune this understanding of the existence of things, since we all can affirm their existence through our experience? Sufferings exist, things and events exist, everything is there. So what is the point? Why don't we leave the world as it is? Why don't we leave it alone? That a question could be raised. What is the point of trying to fine-tune this understanding of, you know, in what sense things and events exist? It is important to understand the necessity or the importance of cultivating that kind of insight, which is, if you look, if you observe your own thought processes, your own states of mind, you will find the occurrence of various states of thought, various instances of thought. For example, like we have spontaneous thoughts of I am, I'm doing this, I see this, and these thoughts, such as the thought I am, cannot be said to be invalid. They are valid thoughts. However, when these thoughts, such as I am, is accompanied by a powerful kind of grasping at some kind of self as enjoying intrinsic reality, then that grasping onto the self as possessing intrinsic reality tends to give rise to all sorts of other afflictions in the mind, such as hatred, anger, attachment, and so on. So there is a kind of a causal dynamic in our mental states, and it is this grasping at true existence of things, it is this grasping at inherent existence of things that really serves as the basis for the arising of these various afflictions within us. And therefore, by cultivating a true insight into the way things really exist, which is cultivating insight into the emptiness of inherent existence, then we will be directly attacking this grasping at inherent existence of things, thus reducing its force. And the more we are able to reduce the force of this grasping, then automatically the force of the various afflictions that derives from this will also be reduced. And through this way, one will be able to gradually eliminate the afflictions of the mind. And this is something that one needs to analyze by referring to one's own experience. For example, when you have an experience of perception of something, an object or a person, try to examine how you perceive that person or an object when your state of mind is calm, when there is no turbulence of afflictions. And then try to compare that with your perception of that the same object when there is already a certain turbulence, such as anger or hatred and so on, and then try to see the difference between the two. And you need to try to see this experientially, compare the two. And one thing that will be obvious, one thing that will become evident is that when there is a turbulence in the mind, then your perception of whatever that object is, whether attractive or unattractive, desirable or undesirable, depending upon whatever it is, there is a strong emotional reaction to that. And when you experientially recognize this point, then you will feel, yes, this grasping at inherent existence of things really underpins much of our afflictive emotional responses to things. And then you will also come to realize that this grasping at inherent existence of things is a distorted state of mind. It's a false way of seeing things. Now, if it is simply a false view or simply a false perception with no consequences, then okay, that's fine. But however, that is not the case. It is not only a false understanding, but also it is a powerful false understanding which has which creates our own downfall by bringing forth various negative and afflictive emotions. So when you gain that kind of insight, then you will realize the importance for cultivating the insight into emptiness. And similarly, as you then combat with the negative and the afflictive aspects of your thoughts and emotions, at the same time, then one will be able to strengthen the positive thoughts and emotions, which are not grounded in a grasping at inherent existence of things. So when deepening our understanding of emptiness, generally it is easier to arrive at the understanding of emptiness by reflecting upon the dependent origination of things. By using dependent origination as a reason, then you can infer, yes, since things and events are dependently originated, they are devoid of independent existence, they are devoid of inherent existence. It is more difficult than to make the reverse inference, which is because things and events are devoid of inherent existence, they are therefore dependently originated. However, this reverse inference is something that also needs to be cultivated, and that requires a sustained practice and familiarity. And eventually, just as one can make the forward inference, one can also make the reverse inference.
That is, Christian, the question is, near the intellectual, some kasur pge namju gurin betane chi khwaji language di chi khwaru chi lede bete ini mutun samta kumji je kumji je ni ini shine chi so shuk chumbu yede bete nyoha ga ma lete aji ngulo wa dan dus chi gure.
So as I explained yesterday, that one begins by developing a kind of understanding of emptiness at the level of the intellect, so intellectual understanding, by constantly reflecting upon this, by constantly studying. And then once you have gained a degree of understanding, then you need to habituate with this through constant familiarity, and then eventually you will get to a point where you will feel its impact at the emotional level, and that way the experience will be deepened.
So
So we read on verse 48, something existent cannot be produced, nor something non-existent like a sky flower. And these errors are both absurd, and thus both of the other two will not occur either. And this is an allusion to a verse in the 70 verses by Nagarjuna, where Nagarjuna points out that if things and events possess inherently existing reality, then since they possess intrinsic existence, then causation will have no role to play. Therefore, one cannot make the statement that they came about as a result of causation. On the other hand, if things and events are completely non-existent, then again, how can one speak of causation in relation to such things? This is like this, like a sky flower. Since sky flower doesn't exist, how can one speak of its coming into being? So in this way, the point being made here is this, that when we speak of cause and effect, when we speak of causations, we are speaking at the level of appearance, at the level of conventional reality. For example, when we conventionally, when we make statements such as such and such a son is born from such and such a father, or sprouts come from their seeds and so on, we are making a simple statement that something gives rise to something. And beyond, above and beyond that, we are not making a statement on the basis of searching for the ultimate reality of these things, such as by asking, if that is the case, whether the cause that produced that effect, is it ultimately identical to the effect, or is it completely independent from the effect and so on. We do not make these statements about causation on the basis of making such metaphysical speculations. Rather, we make statements of causation simply at the level of everyday experience. When you try to posit causation on the basis of making such metaphysical speculations, then one run into the problem of either choosing for things and events coming into being from causes that are ultimately identical, which is a position that was maintained by an Indian school in the past, where there was an understanding that that the entire features of the effect must be present in some form in the cause. And if that is the case, then the Buddhists have critiqued this by saying that if all the features of the effects are fully present at the causal stage, then what need is there for the whole production to take place? And because they are already present, and if still one can maintain that production is necessary, then this production will be infinite. So in this way, these kind of metaphysical attempts to define causation have been critiqued. Similarly, we read in the next line, next verse, a thing is not produced from itself nor from another, also not from both, nor causelessly either. Thus it does not exist inherently by way of its own entity. Again, the point here is similar, that if something is produced from moreover, when all phenomena are examined as to whether they are one or many, they are not seen to exist by way of their own entity, and thus are ascertained as not inherently existent. Similarly, when we speak of things and events, the question is, do they exist as a singular, or do they exist as multiple, and so on? And these characteristics of singularity and plurality, if they are claimed, asserted as being intrinsic properties or inherently real properties of the things, again, there will be a lot of problems, because if things possess inherently real identities, then it makes it very difficult to explain the relationship between cause and effects, because how can one understand a causal relation between two independently real discrete entities? If they are independently real discrete entities, then there is no way of explaining their relationship. So we read further, the reasoning of the 70 stanzas and on emptiness, the treatises on the middle way and so forth, explain that the nature of all things is established as emptiness. Since there are a great many passages, I have not cited them here, but have explained just their conclusions for the purpose of meditation. Thus, whatever is meditation on selflessness, in that it does not observe an inherent nature in phenomena, is the cultivation of wisdom.
Number of Midoba, Tekonanilam, number of Midoba, Tikimuris. 나가신도 도미세 시순소 나브르미도 고는 주고 순내자 담준들에 대해서 나브르미도 삼주는 남도 저가 남대디 림님이도 타본 주 시순소 롱더지고 당연히 신나 소지 김에 그런 심에 방해시네 나브르 도미 공부를 차스
Thus, when one arrives at an understanding that all phenomena, all things and events are devoid of inherent existence, then one should then shift the focus of one's analysis onto the very mind that is understanding emptiness. And then when you subject the mind itself, the cognition itself, that very understanding, again you will find that the mind too shares the same nature of being devoid of inherent existence. And in this way, as the text explains, one will eventually arrive at a non-conceptual understanding of emptiness. So we read, just as wisdom does not see an inherent nature in phenomena, having analyzed wisdom itself by reasoning, non-conceptually meditate on that. Then in the following stanzas, he explains why it is important to cultivate this non-conceptual wisdom. We read in verse 55, the nature of this worldly existence, which has come from conceptualization, is conceptuality. Thus the elimination of conceptuality is the highest state of nirvana. The great ignorance of conceptuality makes us fall into the ocean of cyclic existence. Resting in non-conceptual stabilization, space-like non-conceptuality manifests clearly. When bodhisattvas non-conceptually contemplate this excellent teaching, they will transcend conceptuality, so hard to overcome, and eventually reach the non-conceptual state. Having ascertained through scripture and through reasoning that phenomena are not produced nor inherently existent, meditate without conceptuality.
Any Ringi Treso Top Chenes, don't you let me go Gunzu Top in the Zane? Jolam Tre Chungun Top, Tre Chungun Top. And the Nation in Treasum Sola Chaja Jenny, that Tadu in Kazushi Saturday, and a Tonam Yishiki in the Saturn Rodoka Top. Then a Saturdoka also was Rimbe Mondo Chedi, Top Duty, Sanjay Shanju Yum Rings. That the name, Nala Juzula, not too nearly Drubai. Lama never give a young old woman with the good number done in the mood to be candy and yours. Tawana any soldier to be Nejo to the Tabor Nejo Lami Julia any she Chakamat in the Sumyard, that Zuya Kadresena Tangu Sanji Jujin, the Rudum Bebe Kakwish, Sama Shiro Wongo, the Samura Chebe Langmichas. Any the Sanju Rodushum Dengi, any Sawan, the Shawan, the Mwan, the Kuna Digmaris. Kedi Wongur Tenzin, Tian Karislav, Kedi Wongur Tenzin, Sangju Kudu Laneva, Laneve, Kawacheva, Juvichil, Kudu Tomba Tenyam, the Tushuchin, the Pamba Yuan, and Junju, Tenning Yasung, Yuanam Yama Yin. Chenjin Yindu for Nga Lamigi, Shun, Nga Shun, Sung Shebe, Ji Lamganet to Teddy, for a two Shevajida, Susu Juzuda, any two Shevajida, Takandachi, Kashuri.
Shevaji Then we read on verse 59, having thus meditated on suchness, eventually after reaching heat and so forth, so the heat here refers to the path of preparation or path of linking, where the meditator, the bodhisattva, has advanced in his or her realization of emptiness, where the realization of emptiness has now become meditatively derived. And then read the very joyful and the others are attained. The very joyful is the name of the first bodhisattva level, bodhisattva bhumi. And before long, the enlightened state of Buddhahood. And then from verse 60, the tantra is explained. If you wish to create with ease the collection for enlightenment through activities of pacification, increase and so forth, gained by the power of mantra. So these activities refer to the four activities such as pacification, increase, influence, and wrathful actions, where in the tantric teachings, much greater resources of activities are found which can be employed in one's task of bringing about others' well-being. So we read further, and also through the force of the eight and other great attainments like the good pot, if you want to practice secret mantra, as explained in the action and performance tantras, then to receive the preceptor initiation, you must please an excellent spiritual teacher through service, valuable gifts and the like, as well as through obedience. Through the full bestowing of the preceptor initiation by a spiritual teacher who is pleased, you are purified of all wrongdoing and become fit to gain powerful attainments. And then in verse 64, a question is raised about, if that is so, how does an ordained member who is a Vajrayana practitioner relate to certain aspects of the Vajrayana practice, such as relying on consorts and so on? And then we read, because the great tantra of the primordial Buddha forbids it emphatically, those observing pure conduct should not take the secret and wisdom initiations. So here the point is that these secret and wisdom initiations should not be taken in actuality by members of the ordained members. So we read, if those observing, so the point is that it is important for the practitioners to understand the appropriateness of the time when these different aspects of the Vajrayana path needs to be applied in one's own case, and also judging by the level of one's own realization, and also by comparing the various presentation of the different teachings. By it is on the basis of all this accumulative kind of understanding that one needs to approach these practices. So we read, if those observing the austere practice of pure conduct were to hold these initiations, their vow of austerity will be impaired through doing what is that which is prescribed. This creates transgressions which are a defeat for those observing discipline. Since they are certain to fall to a bad rebirth, they will never gain accomplishments. There is no fault if one who has received the preceptor initiation and has knowledge of suchness listens to or explains the tantras and performs burnt offering rituals or make offerings of gifts and so forth. And then finally, in verse 68, author identifies himself. And so this is like the colophon. I, the elder Dipamkara Shiri, having seen it explained in sutra and in other teachings, have made this concise explanation at the request of Changchubu. And then we read, this concludes the lamp for the path to enlightenment by the great master Dipamkara Shiri Jana. It was translated, revised and finalized by the eminent Indian abbot himself and by the great reviser, translator and fully ordained monk Gewe Lodu. This teaching was written in the temple of Toling in Shangshung.
Yeah.
So with this, the transmission of the reading of Atisha's lamp for the path to enlightenment with some commentaries of the key points have been presented, and although I cannot myself claim to have any profound understanding or the realization, you can use what I have explained here as a key, and then you should try to deepen your own understanding through further study and practice. You can also ask your teachers, especially if you are members of various Buddhist centers, you may have resident teachers. You can ask these teachers so that you can then deepen your understanding.
Oh yeah, that's also.
So with this, the teachings are finished.
Chancho Sancho Rinpoche, Maje Panang Jeju Se, Jeba Nyamba, Meba Nyam, Kone Kondo Te Wara Yo. Jambe Bode Jeta Jemba Tong, Kondo Sangpa Teng, Teta Kunji Sezo Talo Se, Gyawa Teta, Tanje Roto Mo, Tesun Sebe Gyawa Tanje Jemba Kana, Chondo Na, Tage Kewe Sawa De Kunji Sangpo, Jeshe Roto Mo Wara Ki. Ya, Medrish. Mende, danıştan.
Nam-bhe-mbhe-la-gyam-myo-nyo-ngo-myo-ngo-myo-ngo-myo-ngo-myo-ngo-myo-ngo-myo-ngo-myo-ngo-myo-ngo-myo-ngo-myo-ngo-myo-ngo-myo-ngo-myo-ngo-myo-ngo-myo-ngo-myo-ngo-myo-ngo-myo-ngo-myo-ngo-myo-ngo-myo-ngo-myo-ngo-myo-ngo-myo-ngo-myo-ngo-myo-ngo-myo-ngo-myo-ngo-myo-ngo-myo-ngo-myo-ngo-myo-ngo-myo-ngo-myo-ngo-myo-ngo-myo-ngo-myo-ngo-myo-ngo-myo-ngo-myo-ngo-myo-ngo-myo-ngo-myo-ngo-myo-ngo-myo-ngo-myo-ngo-myo-ngo-myo-ngo-myo-ngo-myo-ng